Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on what is January 6th, 2021. 2021, as we settle into the new year here in the beginning of January. I hope you guys are having a great one out there. You know, normally I would start the show by, you know, after welcoming you guys, diving into then your current sports quick hit headliners. But, you know, because I want to place an emphasis on our foundational topic of the show today, that being, that little game that happened at the Breslin Center last night. That's right, the Michigan State men's basketball team now on a Big Ten win streak. Yeah, because I want to place an emphasis on that, and I want to roll in the press conference of the head coach of your Spartans, Tom Izzo, along with the star of last night's Spartans win, Aaron Henry, who was brilliant. And, you know, I touched on this yesterday, right, when we were previewing the battle between Rutgers and Michigan State on the Tuesday edition of the show. Could Aaron Henry duplicate or come close to duplicating what he was able to do in that career high against Nebraska this past weekend? Could he continue that momentum moving forward? And he did. And I think right now he is showing that he is the guy for this basketball team. You know, we've been debating, okay, who is that go-to player for Michigan State hoops? Especially when you need a bucket, when it's tight, and you say to yourself, okay, who can we depend on here to make a big play? Aaron Henry is showing that he is that guy. So you'll get the chance to hear from Aaron Henry as well as head coach Tom Izzo. But, you know, before we dive into some conversation on Michigan State basketball. And again, normally I would go into our quick hit headliners, but I'm going to switch things up today. I'm just going to briefly touch upon, you know, some of the big stories coming out of today's sporting world, because there are so many. First off, I want to give a big shout out to Devontae Smith of Alabama, right? How impressive was that last night as he became just the second wide receiver in history to win the Heisman Trophy. The Heisman Trophy given to college football's best player for that season. And this year, Devontae Smith was chosen. Devontae Smith is an absolute animal. And I, like many of you out there, have enjoyed watching him do what he does out there on the football gridiron. And he is actually the first, again, he's only the second wide receiver to receive the Heisman Trophy, and he's the first since Michigan's own Desmond Howard. We all know Desmond was the guy for the maize and blue and took the college football world by storm in the 90s, and Devontae Smith follows in his footsteps. But, you know, it was such a weird ceremony, I must say, though, right? Because, you know, you had it conducted virtually, and, you know, they open things up, and, you know, everybody's on video cam and everything like that. So it was certainly different, and in a different year, you can't take anything away from Devontae Smith. He certainly deserved and deserves, I should say, that honor. Also, when it comes to COVID-19 having a profound impact, continuing to have a profound impact on our sporting world, well, the Cleveland Browns have announced 5 more positive tests within their organization. That's including one for head coach Kevin Stefanski. So, I mean, we're right on the brink of the playoffs now, you know, when it comes to the NFL. You know, we're right there. And, you know, it's one of those things you look at and you say, okay, we definitely want to get these games in and you know, on the road to, you know, crowning the next NFL champion, that next Lombardi trophy holder. But, you know, it is wild, man. You know, and wild card weekend is going to be very, very wild this weekend. But, you know, COVID-19 continues to be a major, major factor, just as it has all season. You know, this year has been almost as much about what negotiating the pandemic as it's been about playing football. So, again, Cleveland Browns, they will be without coach Kevin Stefanski and other members of his coaching staff for their game against AFC North rivals, the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game is huge, huge. So due to that, Browns special teams coach Mike Pryfer, he will serve as Stefanski in the head coaching position come this weekend. So that is pretty wild stuff. You know, Cleveland having an amazing, amazing year. Shout out to Baker Mayfield and what he's been able to do this season with Cleveland. But, you know, you don't want your head coach gone to begin the playoffs, to begin the biggest slate of games, plural, hopefully that's plural, right, of your season. So, yeah, that's pretty wild. Also, the United States women's national team, soccer team, forward Alex Morgan and also Baylor head coach Kim Mulkey have both tested positive for COVID-19. And yeah, and also Hall of Famer Hank Aaron received a vaccination. So yeah, a lot is happening right now around the sporting world. And oh yeah, there was a story that broke yesterday concerning the possibility of delaying next week's college football national championship game. That's because of COVID issues now at Ohio State. And look, Ohio State has had COVID-19 issues throughout the season. And, you know, now the national championship game is in jeopardy. And look, you know, my take on that is, look, you want to, when you talk about the national championship, I mean, this is the biggest game of the college football year. Everyone will be watching. When you compete in that game for a championship, everybody wants to see both teams at 100% or close to 100%. You know, and Alabama doesn't want to win like that, down a ton of players due to COVID-19. You know, you want to make sure that, okay, we earned this thing. I want to play you at full strength. So if we got to delay it, you know, hey, we got to delay it. Simple as that. So I have no problem with delaying, you know, the national championship game next week because there are COVID-19 issues at Ohio State. And at the end of the day, you want to be at close to full power as you can be when it comes to your roster. And at the end of the day, also, you want to make sure you're safe. You want to make sure that you know, your opponent that you're playing is not infecting your players or coaching staff with COVID-19. So, yeah, really interesting stuff there. And, you know, if they do move it, that will be that will be unprecedented. That will have never have happened before in the history of the game. So, yeah, a lot going on around the sporting world, folks. A lot going on, and I'm pretty sure I missed a few. Oh, yeah, it looks as though Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, he has officially declared for the NFL draft today, saying in a video posted to his social media, quote, "I'll be a Clemson Tiger forever." Yep, so Trevor Lawrence, gosh, and you just look at things, too. If the Lions would have just went, you know, 0-4 or even just got one win, you know, just make sure you shore up that number one pick in the NFL draft. I mean, you could have had a shot at getting Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I look at Tua, you know, Tagovailoa out in Miami. We all know, you guys know how I feel. Those who listen to the show on the reg, you guys know how I feel. I really thought that the Lions should have drafted Tua as a security blanket for the career of Matthew Stafford. Stafford isn't getting any younger. And the backup situation, I mean, what, Chase Daniel? I mean, dude is seasoned. You want to think about the future of your franchise when it comes to the QB position, and Stafford is great. I love him. Love him, love him, love him. So tough, and I think he'll go down as the greatest Lions quarterback of all time. But injury after injury after injury, and he's aging. So I don't know what the Lions are going to do, you know, at the quarterback position moving forward, but they have to start thinking. And, you know, as I mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports, I mean, they're still trying to figure out who's going to be the general manager and the head coach. So there's a lot to do, a lot to think about, a lot of moves to be made for the Lions organization. All right, but Trevor Lawrence, he will likely be pick numero uno. And deservingly so, you know. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he finishes his Clemson career third in the school's history in passing yards, second in TD passes with 90. And, you know, he's widely expected to be the number one overall selection by the Jacksonville Jaguars come the NFL draft later on this year. So, and, you know, I mentioned the Jags on yesterday's Current Sports. I mean, how appealing is the Jaguars organization? Not so much. But, hey, when you get a guy like Trevor Lawrence walking through the door, that's a great start. That's a great foundational building block. I'll just say that. All right. Okay, now that we've handled all of that jazz, I want to change the tune now, and let's talk some Michigan State men's basketball. Your Spartans are now on a win streak. How about that? How about that, folks? I mean, we've been waiting a while to say that, and finally we can. A win streak in the Big Ten, excuse me. A win streak in the Big Ten. Now we can say that after starting the conference year 0-3 and Spartan fans everywhere just putting their hands right on their face and just trying to figure out, okay, when are we going to get win number one? Well, win number one happened on Saturday against Nebraska. Aaron Henry broke out for a career high. And then last night, it wasn't easy to start. Rutgers hung in there, courtesy of a ton of turnovers by Michigan State. But at the end of the day, in that second half, and I thought this was going to be a very close game down the stretch of that game, but nah. Michigan State came out in that second half, looked so focused, and just really put its foot on the throat of Rutgers. It was impressive, man. Watching that second half for Michigan State, it ended up being a 68-45 final. I mean, it really wasn't even close in that second half. And that was spearheaded by, number one, an incredible defensive performance by your Michigan State men's basketball team. I mean, they were brilliant defensively. Michigan State was really just suffocating. I mean, it was amazing watching just how in sync they were on the defensive end of the basketball. And I think if you play defense like that on a consistent basis, I mean, that was elite defense. If you play defense like that, what we saw from Michigan State last night, Michigan State can beat any team in the country. This is what we've been waiting on all season. That is a staple. That is a hallmark of a Michigan State men's basketball team. When you can go out there and just dog a team defensively. Don't even give them a chance. That's what Tom Izzo teams do. And they finally played elite defense last night. They came into the game allowing over 74 points per game, gave up 77 to Nebraska, 81 to Minnesota, 85 to Wisconsin, and 79 to Northwestern in Big Ten play. That's not exactly how you win games you're supposed to, right? If you're giving up 70-plus points every night in the conference, that's going to make it very tough to win. Simple as that. Lackluster, lazy defense is what we've seen from Michigan State in conference play prior to last night. I don't know. Something must have clicked. I don't know. Maybe they did the war drill with mask on. Something happened because that was the best defensive effort that the Spartans have shown all year. All year. Michigan State had 8 blocks, 5 steals, won the rebounding battle by an impressive 21, and held Rutgers to just 31% from the floor. Now, some of that was just bad shooting by Rutgers as well, because they had some good looks, but a lot of that was Michigan State defense. So I want to start there because you know where I'm going next. Aaron Henry is the guy for your team this season. He is that guy. You know, a lot was made of Aaron Henry dipping his toe in the NBA water over the offseason, right? Debating whether or not he should take his talents to the next level. But he didn't like the feedback he got. So he decided, okay, I need another year. NBA personnel told him what he needed to work on. And he's like, all right, let's grind. Let's get it. I need to improve my stock. I need to come back, improve my stock, and show NBA GMs and scouts and coaches that I can be a great player at that next level. It motivated him. And he has shown in the past 2 games that, hey, I can ball. He's got to keep it up because, again, just 2 games. But I think Aaron Henry is proving a point here. He is responding to his head coach, Tom Izzo, calling him out, being incredibly honest, just like Coach Izzo always is, saying that he doesn't. Remember when Izzo said, hey, I don't have an alpha dog? You guys remember that? I played that press conference here on Current Sports. I don't have an alpha dog. I'm looking for an alpha dog. I think Aaron Henry took that personal. So Aaron Henry has not held back. He has taken his game to another level, at least the last 2 games. Because not only is he scoring, I mean, my goodness, against Nebraska, he was 10 for 16. That's incredibly efficient for that career-high 27 points. But he follows that up by leading Michigan State last night with 20 points, 8 of 13 from the floor, shooting 50% from three-point land, 2 of 4 there. Throw in 8 rebounds for him. Throw in 2 steals. Throw in 4 blocks. Dude didn't just impact the game on the O side of the ball, but defensively as well. Aaron Henry, you know, and Izzo talked last night, and he has talked all season about how he believes Rocket Watts is the best defender that he has on the team, but I don't know, man. What I'm seeing from Aaron Henry, they could go head up on the defensive side of the basketball. It's impressive, man. Four blocks? And one of those blocks, I think it was on Jacob Young, where he drives to the paint and Aaron just leaped. I thought it was one of Michigan State's big men who blocked that basketball. But it was Aaron Henry. They show it the replay, and Jay Billis is talking us through it. And, you know, you just see Aaron Henry's hand goes up and just, get it out of here. I mean, hey, this young player, man, is he's making his case right now that hey, give me the ball and get out the way. I can be that guy for you. And shout out to Rocket. You know, I mentioned Rocket. He played, you know, 15 minutes. Had 11 points, 3 of 8 from the field. Could be a little bit better. But, hey, just to see Rocket get out there and score in double digits, that's what you need from him. That's what you want to see from him, because he was in a funk prior to that game. And it looked as though his confidence was way down, even to start that game. I mean, you could see it. As Jay Billis was talking about Rocket lacking confidence, you could tell. I mean, he missed a few shots, and you can just see him kind of pressing a bit and kind of looking around and, you know, wiping his mouth with his jersey. You know, maybe he had cotton mouth, you know, maybe a little bit nervous because he knows he has to go out there and perform this game. The spotlight is on him. but he went out there and did great coming off the bench too. You know, because we all know A.J. Hogarth has taken over the point guard responsibilities for this team. Rocket is coming off the bench. He's playing the two guard now, because your starting lineup looks like this. You got Thomas Kithier, Aaron Henry, Joey Hauser, A.J. Hogarth, and then Josh Langford. So Rocket has been moved out of the starting lineup now. He's playing the two, not the one, and he has struggled. And he went out there, didn't complain. Izzo has noted that, you know, Rocket hasn't complained. He's worked and is just looking to get better game after game. That's the kind of mentality you have to have. It ain't personal. If you aren't playing well, and especially if you aren't suited, Rocket's game just isn't suited for the point guard position. That's just not what he does. That's not his game. He's a scorer and a great defender. So you got to embrace it, man. And I think he's doing that right now. And speaking of A.J. Hogarth, you know, being now the starting point guard of this team for two games straight, I thought A.J. played a great game last night as well. Again, you don't need A.J. to score. You got guys like Aaron Henry and Hauser and Langford. Those guys will help out in that department. A.J. Hogarth has to run the show. Dish the ball out, run the plays, run the break, and play some defense, just like every player on a Michigan State basketball roster must do. Play some D. But he dished out 6 assists. Impressive stuff. Also had 2 steals, too. One of those steals at the very beginning of the game that led to a fast break layup for him. That's what you want to see. I love it, man. This was a complete game for Michigan State. It really was. You know, and I think this team looks more balanced right now. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with A.J. Hogarth taking over the point guard position. You know, he's brought some stability to this team. You know, and again, he does a better job on the defensive end than many people expected. Didn't score much, but again, you don't need him to. 3 points. But had a massive impact on that win last night. He made smart passes, pushed the ball with just minimal mistakes, 6 assists. That's what you need. And I love Joshua Langford running off screens. I'm waiting on Joshua Langford to have like a breakout massive 20-plus point game as well. Just only a matter of time for him. You know, and also like Billis noted last night, you know, Joshua Langford seems to be moving this season with no problem. It does not look like he has been injured the last 2 seasons. Remarkable job. Shout out to the Michigan State training staff and the job that they have done with Joshua Langford and Josh himself for putting in the work and making sure that he got back to this point. I'm also digging the bald head that he has. You know, I think, you know, he realized that the hairline was going back a little bit and said, you know what, I'm done. Let me go bald. let me pull off the MJ dome look. And it's a good look for him, man. It's a good look for him. I'm digging it. I'm digging it, Josh. Please tell LeBron James that. Okay? LeBron should have been cut that thing off. All right. Your thoughts on Joshua Langford's hair and the Michigan State men's basketball win over Rutgers last night, as Michigan State now improves to 2-3 in the conference. 68-45, the final at the Breslin last night. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Leave us a voicemail there, please. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You can tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can leave us a comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. When we come back, you'll hear from Basketball Hall of Fame head coach Tom Izzo and his thoughts moments after Michigan State put the Scarlet Knights to bed. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on last night's Michigan State men's basketball win over Rutgers, as Michigan State now is riding a two-game win streak in the Big Ten Conference, beating Nebraska on Sunday and Rutgers last night, 68-45, your final. I now want to roll in the press conference, the post-game press conference from Basketball Hall of Fame coach Tom Izzo.
I would like to say I'm very proud of my staff and I'm very proud of my team, because getting in at 3:30 in the morning, by the time we got to bed, maybe later, we got them up at 11. We tested. We had film sessions. We had practice. I think we won the game in the 2 days of prep, and I give all my staff credit for that. But I thought the players really, I don't know if it was the lift of beating Nebraska, you know, there was getting to be a little weight on their shoulders. But I thought tonight we played Michigan State basketball. We defended, we rebounded, we ran. We made some mistakes. I mean, we turned the ball over more than, you know, it was just ridiculous. But to out-rebound that team by 25, Hauser gets 14. The job that I thought Kithier and Malik Hall did on Ron Harper, who I think is one of the better players in this league, just didn't give him many shots. I thought, you know, AJ played good. He had his moments, his freshman moments, but still did some good things. And Rocket came in and really gave us some lift, and especially defensively, but pushing the ball, he's starting to get that. And Gabe hits a couple of shots, and then Josh takes over a little bit at the end. And Aaron Henry is about as efficient in playing about as well, other than the turnovers, as I could ask for in the last two games. He's starting to get that thing down where he's getting that 2 foot stop in the paint and getting shots up. He's done a hell of a job and working on his three, but he's been very efficient, not taking many. Still didn't get to the line enough. Line and too many turnovers will give us something to work at, but that was a total team win, and it was needed. You know, it was really needed to win a game the way Michigan State wins games. And we think we can clean up some of those things offensively. And if we could keep our defense, which travels, and we got a chance to take some steps forward.
Our first question will go to Matt Charbonneau. Tom, it felt like defensively tonight, that was as well as we've seen them play as a unit probably in a few weeks. I assume you'd agree with that.
I said in maybe a few years. I just thought that what we wanted to take away, the game plan, the way we switched, the things we did, I thought that was one of our better defensive performances in a couple of years, personally. Now, it definitely was the best of the year because it was against a quality team that had size inside. Those guards were great. And we did a heck of a job on Baker. I mean, Harper really did a good job on Mathis. We didn't want to give him any looks. And I thought a pretty good job on Young. You know, he's 5 for 18, but he hits 3 on the layups on our turnovers in the first half. So I just thought, yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
What would you say was the big difference tonight from what we've seen this year? Were there certain guys that just played better, or is it, you know, just part of kind of growing as a team, you think?
You know, I think growing as a team, I think having a feel, and I think Aaron Henry's playing at a whole nother level. You know, we'll all marvel at his 20 points. The last two games, he's been unbelievably defensively. And he get into some people tonight. He knocked some balls loose. I was very – it's just his whole demeanor right now. He's even more coachable, not that he hasn't been this year, but he's just doing the things he needs to do to become a great player. And he's got a ways to go, but I think that starts it. I thought Hauser and Kithier did a pretty good job, and Josh Langford – even though he had a little bad stretch in there, he had some good stretches. You bring Rocket in defensively. Nobody's better than Rocket. And I wish I'd have played Marcus a little bit more. He's been practicing good. Mahdi, had a couple blocks. So just the whole defense was better. It's not many times I get to name 10 guys. You know, usually I'm trying to find one or two that played well.
Our next question, we'll go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, great win tonight, Tom. Staying with Aaron, so many storylines we can talk about this season, early in the season, but what do you think is going on with him where it's starting to click? He's almost being that player everyone thought he was going to be or wanted him to be a season or two ago, but right now we're seeing it. What do you think is bringing that about?
You know, Lindsey, I'd say they wanted him to be last year a little bit more and definitely the beginning of this year. You know, his freshman year, I mean, Aaron wasn't any big name coming in and – But I think it's his consistency. He's in the gym more. He's working more. I think he's growing up. I think it's the process. You know, it's really sad because it's probably the norm for 200 years. But the last 10 years, it's that instant gratification. Everybody needs someone to be so good so quick. And he's really going through the process. You know, you think back, it took Morris Peterson till when to get there, you know, his fourth year. It takes other guys time and we're just such a fast twitch society right now. Everybody wants it, but I think he's growing up. He's maturing. You know, I think he's starting to understand. I think he's starting to trust people more. I mean, we've been working hard on those 2-foot jump stops in the paint and he's really doing it well. And it's getting him so much more under control. And then defensively, you know, and he's starting to act like a captain more too. So if I give him too much more credit, then I'm going to regret it. So I'll just cut it off there. But I am proud of him because that's what's supposed to happen. And when player coaches are on the same page, that's what does happen.
Great. Next thank question, you. We'll go to Chris Solari.
Can you that second half run, the defense was there, obviously, and you guys were able to answer and counterpunch, but it seemed like there was a little something with Joey and Rocket in that two-man game that you kind of maybe discovered a little bit. I guess, what did you see from both of those guys in maybe in the last 12, 14 minutes that you can build on?
Well, I've been telling Rocket for a year and a half, you know, he's so athletic. I mean, he got the ball down the court in 3.6 seconds and went from one end to the other before halftime and almost made a shot. And I told him he settles too much for threes and those pullback ones. And now he's starting to drive the ball. He's just a better player. to be honest with you. His shot will come back. He hit that nice three at the end, but right now, driving the ball gets some people open. We felt we did a poor job in our spacing, and that we got to really fix, and that would help Rocket even more. But, boy, him going by people, you know, it really makes it better, and he puts pressure on the defense, and he's shooting like 88% from the free throw line. So I think we have, and Joey is a pick-and-pop guy. He really did a nice job that one time when Rock took it deep in, threw it back. That was a big three. I think we missed him a couple times. That's the things Rocket's got to get better at. But, you know, then he goes out there and checks. And, I mean, he's coming around, you know. And I played him, excuse me, at both guard and point guard. And I said, I'm not giving up on that. It just trying to get him to relax more, but I think he's starting to figure out that driving the ball helps a little bit.
Next, we'll go to Nate Atkins at the Lansing State Journal.
Yeah, Tom, I know coming into this game you'd been impressed by Malik Hall at times this year. What is it about his approach or his game that lets him kind of meet a challenge like Harper tonight?
Well, he's a very smart student, and he's a very smart basketball player. He has a high basketball IQ. He's done a great job with his body. He's strong, 6'7". He's one of our leading rebounders. Now, tonight, I don't know how many he got. He only got four because Joey took all of them, you know. But he rebounds the ball pretty well, and he's really starting to shoot that three. So between him and Joey, sometimes we went with a small lineup, and we got five guys that can shoot it, and that was a plus. So we're going to get better at that, I really, really, really believe. But Malik Hall is an important cog because he did a hell of a job guarding Harper. And Harper is, like I said, a hard guy to guard.
Next up, Kyle Austin.
Now, I want to ask a little bit more about the defense, just because, you know, some of those losses, obviously the numbers weren't great, but you seem like you thought they were still doing okay. I mean, have you seen them be pretty consistent in practice on that end of the court?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part.
I said, you know, some of those losses that, you know, defensively the numbers weren't great, but you seem like you were still okay with what they were doing out there, you know, especially like Minnesota. Have you seen them be pretty consistent there? Or?
No. At Minnesota, I was better. At Northwestern, we were awful. Wisconsin, I thought we were okay. But even those, if you remember some of those smaller games early, teams were shooting threes against us. Now, they made some hellacious threes. But I just didn't feel that there was a grind to our defense, you know. Tonight, we knew it was going to be a physical game. He is a really good coach, and his teams are tougher than nails. And I thought we took the fight to them a little bit, which was very important. And hopefully that'll give us, because, you know, the road, we got Purdue and then we got Iowa. I mean, the road doesn't get any easier, but to beat a team like that, the way we did, you know, they'll bounce back too. They're too well coached and too many good players, but I just think this is going to give us a boost and something we can build on and now really start fixing the offense a little bit more. And I think we'll keep improving.
Next, we got Larry Lage.
Hey, Tom, in the first half when you're having a lot of turnover issues as a team and most of the team was shooting poorly, how key was it that Aaron, you know, played so well in that half in particular?
Well, Aaron was, he did the job for us because, which best players are supposed to do, you know, I hate to say it. And Cash saved us a lot too. But Aaron was, you know, what I liked about him was efficient. It wasn't a volume of shots. He was efficient. I thought he took one bad shot and it was a little fadeaway that wasn't awful. I just thought at the time he could have got in there. But yeah, Aaron saved us a little bit, but I don't know how anybody could have felt good turning the ball over like we did. You know, 49 shots, the lowest number of shots. Now, part of it is they guard too. But part of it was you have 18 turnovers, you're not going to get many shots up. And shot well from the line. That was encouraging. We shot okay from the three. We just didn't take many, which might have been a good thing. But I'd sure like to got, you know, 10, 12 more shots up.
Next question, we'll go to Jane at the State News.
Hi, Tom. Sorry to kind of go back to Aaron one last time, but we talk about him developing and how that takes time. I'm wondering what you see from him maybe in practice or in off time that you think is helping him develop on the court and as a leader for this team as well.
You know, Aaron's the type of guy that he's got so many great qualities, and yet since the day he came here, you know, his father, myself, the other coaches, it was like you just got to push him. And now he's starting to be self-motivated. And that's the difference between good and great, I think. When you're self-motivated, you're watching a little more film. You're doing a little more shooting. You know, your practices are a little bit more intense. You want to do things for yourself. It's always better than doing them for somebody else. And I just think that's the maturity and that's the growth. You know, I'm not ready to canonize it yet because it's been a couple of games, you know, but I think there's a real comfort level now that I have a base to go back to and say, hey, this is why you're playing better. You know, we went to him a couple times. I thought a couple times we didn't go to him. And I told my guys, we got to, you know, we're forgetting about Aaron because he's a good passer too. Like tonight, when he had one assist, I just didn't think he touched the ball enough because he's not selfish. I'd like to get him and Hauser to touch the ball more because they make good decisions. So I think it's just, you know, a little bit of maturity, a little bit of self-motivation, a little bit of hunger, all the things that come as you go through the process of getting better.
Next, we'll go to Jack Ebling.
Tom, 3 weeks ago, Oakland came in here and scored 91 points. Tonight, Rutgers got less than half of that and 30 less than they got against Iowa. Can you use this with your team to show them what Spartan basketball is supposed to be again?
Well, that was the battle cry before and after the game. When we talked about defense, you know, we just said I've been excusing some of it. We talked about more physical play, rebounding better. And I think that you know, this was one of those nights, too. I mean, what did they shoot? 30 and 25. That's like us at Minnesota. So, you know, everybody's going to have some of these games, whether we like it or not. And, you know, so I think part of it was our defense, but I think part of it was, you know, Rutgers not doing the things they needed to do. And they'll get back on track. I promise you that. But I think this gives us a barometer of where we can be as far as defensively. I think it gives us something that we can tell our guys, you know, this is what happens when you guard and you shoot poorly the first half, you can still win the game. And sooner or later, the more you guard, the more rebounds you get, the more fast break, and maybe you get some easy buckets. Because they shot 30, and I don't know how many layups they got. It wasn't a ton, but they got some easy shots off our turnovers. So that even makes our half-court defense even more impressive.
Up next is Brendan Quinn.
Tom, your thoughts on AJ in his second start, and also can you touch on Julius not getting in there tonight?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Julius was unbelievable on our scout team, and we were going to get him in there, but I told you, you know, I'm gonna have to shrink that group a little bit. It'll be different guys. We wanted Marcus to be in there, and we got to go against some size now, and maybe that'll make a difference. But I don't feel any different about Julius as far as you know, later on. I mean, we just got to get him in there because he's worked his tail off and has been very good. As far as AJ, you know, I mean, I there were some things I really liked. But there were some things that, you know, I tell him that sometimes these Philadelphia guys are cool and casual. I always bring up you and him. And that's not a compliment, by the way. And, you know, there were some things we gave up a three just because, you know, you know he's got to learn to grind it. I made a couple of turnovers that I thought were kind of unforced, ridiculous turnovers. And but that's going to happen. He's a freshman. He also had six, you know, how many assists did he have?
six assists. So he did some things very well. He can drive and get in there a little bit better. I'm pleased with what AJ did, you know, but I know it's got to be better and better and more consistent if we're going to be a real good team. But second start, no, I got pleased, yes.
Tom Izzo, right there. I mean, you just heard him talk about how he believed and believes that last night was the most complete game that his team has played. That was Michigan State basketball. So now we'll see what happens as Michigan State trucks along and will play Purdue on the 8th. That's Friday. Friday night at home on Fox Sports 1. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time. The Purdue Boilermakers are also 2-3 in the conference. And that should be a fun game. Very, very fun game. Always a fun game when Michigan State plays Purdue. But I want to hit this final break. And when we come back, you'll hear from the star from last night's Michigan State basketball win, that being Aaron Henry, as he has put together two back-to-back impressive wins. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard from Tom Izzo after the win over Rutgers last night for the Spartans. Win number 2 in Big Ten play for Michigan State. And now I want you to hear from Aaron Henry. As you know, he had a career-high 27 against Nebraska. Follows that up with another complete game as he poured in 20 points for Michigan State last night, 8 of 13 shooting, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 steals, throw in an assist, playing some of his best defense of the season and playing his best offense of the season. So if he continues this kind of play, he's going to be an all Big Ten first teamer without a doubt. And the NBA is going to come a knocking. Simple as that. So here is Aaron Henry on his brilliant performance last night.
It was good to get one tonight on the home court. You know, and the way we did it, I felt like we defended. You know, got back to some ways that our standards here at Michigan State in terms of defense. You know, but we still have a long way to go. You know, we're not complacent. We're not satisfied. And Rutgers is a great team, and to be able to play defense like that, I feel like that takes a certain level of awareness and locked in-ness, I guess you can say. And we had good focus this week, and it means a lot to our team, but you know, we can't be complacent at all, and I'm not complacent myself.
What was the big difference for you guys tonight defensively as opposed to the last couple weeks?
I just felt our approach was better. You know, we know what we had to do. You know, we were being held accountable as players from head to toe. Every player was, and we were challenged, and we responded well, and I'm proud of our team, but we still have to continue to get better with things. And just not being satisfied and with the win like this against a good team like that. I mean, yes, we can celebrate for the 30 minutes in the locker room, but, you know, we have a quick turnaround this weekend. I feel like it's important for the leaders, Josh, you know, Frosty and myself, to having been here so long and having gone through ups and downs throughout seasons, to understand that, you know, we were as low as we can get, I felt like, at one point, and just happened to be on Christmas Day, and just having that type of leadership and being able to respond like that, you know, in a situation like this, it shows a lot. You know, it's a testament to what the coaches put before us and how we follow the game plan. And, you know, I'm happy that we got the win tonight and we showed some growth. We scored in some ways tonight. We got shots to go in, but we turned the ball over way too much, I feel like. And that gave them some easy opportunities on the offensive end. Yes, transition defense was a huge point of emphasis this week, and defense period was, but if we want to be a completely, you know, greater defensive team, I feel like we can't give those types of runouts early on offense, turning the ball over. I look to stop momentum on both sides of the court, rebounding as well, running my lane, the things I can control. You know, I mean, you can point at the shooting, you can point at certain things, but, you know, just me being a player and on the court on both ends, you know, I try to be as good as I can for the guys on the court with me. I try to hold everybody accountable, and we just got to continue to get better.
Aaron Henry, he's an animal, folks. Again, Michigan State, Purdue, Friday night at the Breslin. But until the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, we must bid you all adieu because we are out of time. Folks, as always, I want you to be smart, be safe, and please be easy, people.